It is good to see every one of you tonight. It's good to be here with you. I'm grateful for the elders for the invitation to speak on this summer series. If you were visiting last week and visiting again this week, I will apologize because I don't have bacon on a stick or cold coats or moon pies. So all you got is me tonight. I'm sorry. John chapter 12 and verse 26 says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father." In the late 1800s, there was a rise in missionary journeys into northern India. Specifically, some provinces in northern India that had been shut off to the outside world. Many of those areas, those provinces were very violent, inhabited by headhunters in some cases. And in a lot of those villages, they didn't like outsiders. They weren't very accepting of visitors at all. But as the gospel began to come to northern India, there were many missionaries from Wales that found their way there. And you can imagine in some of these provinces that were oppressed by some of the most oppressive forms of Hinduism, that they found great persecution. The going was tough. But one of those Welsh missionaries found a family in the province of Assam who accepted the gospel. They were baptized. But the village where they lived, the leaders of that village weren't very happy. In fact, they called the entire village together. And they brought this family out, and they told the father of the family, "If you don't renounce your faith, if you don't recant this Jesus, then we're going to kill your family." The man responded by saying, "I have decided to follow Jesus, and there is no turning back." Upon hearing those words, the chief of the village ordered his children to be killed. After that moment, the man responded with, "The world can be behind me, but the cross is before me." Again, the chief of the village was very angry, and he called on the same men to then kill this man's wife. The man then responded with, "Though no one is here to go with me, I still will follow Jesus." Then the chief ordered him killed as well. Now, the interesting thing about the events of this moment and the events that happened here is that the chief, upon reflection as to why this man would stand for this Jesus, why would he die for this Jesus? It so perplexed him that eventually the chief of the village would claim to be a follower of Christ, upon which the entire village followed suit. "I have decided to follow Jesus." I hope none of us are ever faced with a situation such as this. Nothing this serious. But we all must make the decision to follow Jesus. At some point, we all will have to be faced with the decision of what we will do with Jesus. And that decision must be based on Jesus. It cannot be based on what man believes. It cannot be based on any creed. It cannot be based on any idea other than Jesus himself. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When we say, I've decided to follow Jesus, that decision must be fully based on Jesus himself, on what he represents, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is our access to God. Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the basis, the foundation of our faith, and he must be the foundation of any decision that we have. If we want to follow God, that decision is based on Jesus. It's the same decision that we read of in the book of Acts over and over again. Jesus, the Son of God, being presented as our Savior. That decision was made by 3,000 souls in Acts chapter 2. It was also made by an Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Cornelius and his family, the Gentiles, received the message and obeyed the gospel and made the decision to follow Jesus in Acts chapter 10. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, and on we can read of these people being faced with the decision and making the decision to follow Jesus. We must make that choice. But we won't be forced to make that choice. Each of us individually have to make that decision on our own. No one can make it for us. When we sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, that decision is unique and personal to each of us. Yes, we're going to obey the gospel. Yes, it's the same gospel, but each of us are going to get to that point at different times. But each of us must get to the point to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I believe that strongly is what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 10, where he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. I believe the good he's talking about there is, what did we do with Jesus? What did we do with the decision of Jesus and his sacrifice, his life, his gift? I've decided to follow Jesus. What does it mean? What is included in the idea of following Jesus? Our world has a lot of slogans. And I've heard many a religious person say, just give me Jesus. But what does it mean to really follow Jesus? It means the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me. The temptation can be to withdraw from the world. And trust me, as we look out into the world, that seems like a good idea, doesn't it? The idea to withdraw from some of the craziness that we see on a daily basis. But I don't think that's what God wants from us. It's not what Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17 when he was praying for his disciples. In verse 14 it says, I have given them your word. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Obviously, the apostles would have to be in the world. In order to spread the gospel, they had to be where the gospel was needed. And I believe that holds true for you and I today. The world behind me, the cross before me. The temptation to withdraw is there, but we must not. We must be lights in this world. But the world should not appeal to us in such a way that we are more attracted to it than we are to Christ. The world and its appeal cannot overcome in our hearts what Christ should mean to us. It's a danger that we're warned about in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Do not love the world. The world is passing away. But boy, does it have a lot to offer, it seems. It can be easy to be caught up into what the world does offer. It makes a pretty package. It presents itself in a good way. But it never tells us the whole story. It looks good in the moment, in all that the world promises, but it leads to ruin. It leads to separation. Because what James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." We can't withdraw. And we can't get caught up. Both things are very tempting. Both things can make a good case in our hearts. But we must be in the world. But we must be connected to Christ. So that's why we say, the world behind me, the cross before me. Keeping the cross in front of us helps us to remember what life is truly all about. Every day we're faced with challenges. Every day we have new things that can draw our attention. And you know what's going on in your life. You know what's happening. You know what's interesting. You know what's challenging. And it can be easy to simply get caught up into today, into this world, into this life. But you know what? We're living for so much more than today. Ask yourself this. Is this as good as it's ever going to be? Is this as good as it'll ever get? I hope not. I hope for so much more. God created a beautiful world for us to live in. There's some amazing things for us to see, some amazing things for us to experience. But you know what? That's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more in store. There's so much more for us to live for. And Jesus is at the center of that. The cross and what it means. The cross and what it represents. It represents that no matter what happens to me today, no matter how difficult, no matter how tragic, no matter how sad, no matter how challenging, whatever happens to me today is nothing compared to the glory that is waiting. Compared to what Jesus can do for me by cleansing my heart and cleansing my life, cleansing my sins and making me whole. The cross should be the center, the focus. It should be what directs our steps. It's the same attitude that Paul had in 1 Corinthians when he was talking about what he was going to talk about with the church at Corinth. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." the cross, the message of Jesus. I don't know how long it's been since you decided to follow Jesus. Many of us have been Christians for many years. Some are just been Christians for a short time. But do you remember what it was like when you first decided to follow Jesus? What the cross meant to you? What it was all about? You know, the years can go by. We can get used to coming to church. We sing the same songs. How many times have we sung a song that we've known for years and we don't even think about the words anymore? I mean, how many songs can you sing just because we've sung them so many times? We can get used to this. It can just be like something that we do, punching a clock, coming to church. It's what we do. But do we remember what the cross means? What it's all about? It means forgiveness. It means redemption. It means justification. It means heaven. The cross before me. When we decide to follow Jesus, we need to make sure that the cross is the foundation, the center, the focus of our walk. And remember what it means, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. What does it mean? It means everything. The world behind me, the cross before me. To follow Jesus, it means that though none go with me, I still will follow. You know, we gain a family when we become members of the church. We gain a family. Our family's quite large here. We have a lot of people that we can count on, a lot of people that we can turn to, a lot of people that would be there for us. But even though we gain a family, there's still going to be a time when each of us will feel alone in our walk. There still could be a time when each of us may feel like we're the only one, or that we're being challenged because we believe in Christ. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Our friends, our co-workers, maybe even our own family, could pressure us into walking back our faith. We can face challenges on a daily basis to not be that serious about this Bible stuff, to not care that much about God, to simply keep that to ourselves. To not be that serious about it. Or there could be the pressure to simply be what everybody else is. The temptation to not want to be what Jesus makes us. The temptation not to be as serious about the truth of Jesus as we are the idea of Jesus. Though none go with me, I still will follow. I'm sure we all can think of someone who's been willing to trade the truth for religion that is more widely accepted. Are we willing to stand alone? Are we willing to stand for the truth? Are we willing to stand for the cross? Are we willing to stand for Jesus? If we decide today that we want to follow Him, then we follow all that He is, all that He represents, and all that He teaches. You know, John chapter 1 tells us that He's the Word. He's not a path to God. He is the path to God. He's not some alternative. He's the only solution. And we may be someday in a position that we have to make a defense or to stand on our own. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. He says, "Do not think I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and her daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." It's pretty blunt, isn't it? That's pretty right to the point. Jesus says, there's no choosing sides here, all right? There's no sitting on the fence. I'm not going to take 50%, or I'm not going to take a back seat. Jesus says, you got to make a decision. And I've got to be first. That's hard. That's so hard. Why is that hard? Well, because we call them our loved ones for a reason, right? We call them our loved ones for a reason. It's because they're our family. It's because we do love them. Or our friends who are very close to us. We call them that because that's what they are. They mean so much, and we know them. We know who they are. We know what they're about. They're good people. But what if one of those loved ones, what if one of those really good people pressures us not to want to obey the truth? That baptism is not important, is it? Really? You don't really have to go to church all the time. You know, Bible class, it's not required in Scripture. Little things. But who are we going to follow? Just give me Jesus. For many who say, just give me Jesus, they're saying, give me Jesus the way I want Jesus. And not give me what it means to follow Jesus. So I've got to be willing, even if I stand alone, even if all my friends disagree with me, even if everybody I know says, that's not what I want the Bible to say, and that's not what I want to believe, and so I'm not going to believe that. If I know what the Bible says, am I willing to stand and say, this is me? Though none go with me, I still will follow. Jesus went to the cross alone. He died on that cross by himself. Is it too much to ask me to simply obey him? Even if that means following Jesus is something I do alone. Following Jesus means my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, same opening, same place, next verse. Jesus says, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You've all heard the saying, we all have a cross to bear, right? And we think about different things that are burdens, right? Maybe it's our health. Maybe it's stress at work. Maybe it's something. And we usually refer to those things as a cross that we must bear. Tonight I want to submit to you that that's not what I'm talking about. Sometimes those are crosses to bear, yes. And there are things that you and I individually may be struggling with that we will have to carry. But I want you to think of what the cross represented in the days of Jesus when he said this. Because when he said this, he hadn't died yet. When he said, take up your cross and follow me, it didn't mean the same in the moment as it does now when we read it. What did the cross mean and represent in the days of Jesus? Well, it would have represented death, wouldn't it? If you saw a cross, what would you think? Same thing if you saw a guillotine, right? Or if you saw a rope hanging from a tree, or any of those things. You saw a bunch of men lined up with some guns pointed at somebody. What are you thinking? That's a firing squad. Death is about to happen. Cross meant someone's about to die. But for the one who had to carry that cross, you know what it meant? Total surrender. Wasn't even getting out of that, was it? Once you were lined up to carry that cross, you were stuck. You had to carry that cross. It meant total surrender. For Jesus, that's exactly what it meant. They placed that cross upon his shoulders. The very man that they had beaten half to death and said, you carry this. Took total commitment, didn't it? Total surrender. Jesus, on more than one occasion, talks to us about carrying the cross. Here he says it in Matthew 10, and he makes it pretty clear, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We must carry that cross, and we must lose ourselves in him. Total surrender. Total commitment. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This is a challenge for all of us. This is a challenge because I have to live my life every day, don't you? I have to go to work every day, and the same people that irritate me every day are still there. They ain't gone anywhere. My lack of patience with them is there every day when I show up. The same traffic that I have to drive through from here to North Jackson is there every day, and it gets worse every day. And my patience with it grows thinner every day. I live my life. I know what's happening with me, and I know my frustrations, and I know when people need to give me space and when people need to understand my frustrations and my failures, because look at what I'm dealing with. It all becomes about me. My life, my stuff, my things, my job, my family, my house, my. What is Jesus telling us? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That means daily. I need to represent him. Daily. I need to challenge myself to be more of what he wants me to be, because he needs to be out front. I need to be in the back. He needs to be the focus. He needs to be the center. And truth be told, he needs to be what I'm showing to other people. It's not about me. But in my head, it's still about me. That's where we have to put Jesus up front. Deny myself. Pick up that cross and understand that I must surrender to him. I must surrender to his will, his way, and what he wants me to be. Daily. Not Sundays, not Wednesdays, not at church camp, not on retreats, not when it's easy, but daily. Especially daily when it's not easy. I need to surrender and put him out front. He's made it very clear. We must take our cross and follow him. The story behind this song is quite a moving one. I hope that none of us will ever be faced with that situation. But the truth is, we will face opportunities daily to renounce our faith, to walk back away from Jesus, to take steps away from him, to not be as connected to him as we need to be. The question for each of us tonight, and it's not just, have you become a Christian, but have you decided to follow Jesus? It's more than just a one-time decision. It's a decision we must make daily. In order to do that, we have to put Jesus above all else. The world behind us, the cross before us. Even if it means we have to walk all by ourselves, we still need to follow Jesus. And every day, we need to renew our spirit, renew our commitment, and renew our decision that today, I'm going to follow Jesus. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight together, to open your word, to study from it. Father, I pray that our study has been effective, has been truthful, that we will do our very best to live for you and to be appreciative of what you've done for us by sending Jesus to die for us. May we keep the cross ever in front of us. And understand we're living for much more than just today. Father, forgive us when we fail you, for we know we do. And help us to commit each day to be better and to live better for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.